This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So Dan,
yes, sir.
It seems that one of the things about this movie is bigger and better. And I'm wondering, how concerned were you that there was going to be as much as there tended to be in the movie? Or did you understand you were reticent about having all of these villains and that you wanted, you know, the to and fro in between you and the studio? What are your thoughts on?
How did you know I was reticent?
You actually said it.
You said it. You were quoted as saying that.
Oh. Well.
Sorry about that.
Well, mostly, would you say the question one more time? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Were you reticent about having so many characters to deal with, particularly the villains? I mean, obviously the villains.
Well, I had.
Did you want to cut anybody out?
There's so many fears I have in the making of the movies. That's just one of them. So I don't want to make it seem overblown in my vast array of things that I'm terrified of that people won't like. But I had worked on this story with my brother Ivan, and primarily it was a story that featured the Sandman. It was really about Peter, Mary Jane, Harry, and that new character. But when we were done, Avi Arad, my partner and the former president of Marvel at the time, said to me, Sam, you're not paying attention to the fans enough. You need to think about them. You've made two movies now with your favorite villains, and now you're about to make another one with your favorite villains. The fans love Venom. He is the fan favorite. All Spider-Man readers love Venom, and even though you came from 70s Spider-Man, this is what the kids are thinking about. Please incorporate Venom. Listen to the fans now. And so that's really where I realized, okay, maybe I don't have the whole Spider-Man universe in my head. I need to learn a little bit more about Spider-Man and maybe incorporate this villain to make some of the real diehard fans of Spider-Man finally happy.
Is it concerning that you become a slave at times to expectations of the fans?
Well, no. I've made choices that I thought were true to the spirit of the character and sacrificing the detail of what's in the comic book. And I have fallen under sometimes criticism. I can't say it isn't justly deserved. The fans like myself, I'm one of them, have a right to love everything about the comic book. Everything from the web shooters to a particular incident that happens in issue 121, you know, 121. But as a filmmaker, realistically, to stay true to the spirit of the character, which I think is the most important, at least in my mind, that's my choice, I can't be true to all the details. It's just a translation process has to take place. To be true to the spirit, for instance, of Spider-Man, Peter Parker, as the regular human being, someone I could really identify with, I can't also make him a rocket scientist who can make the mechanical web shooters and a formula of adhesive that is air drying that even 3M couldn't make at this time. So I choose certain choices to be true to Stan Lee's spirit. And I understand they have a right to be upset because I don't have a right to change it, but I have to as the director. Anytime anyone makes a comic book into a movie, in some way I think they have to kill the comic book.
I want to apologize for asking the Spider-Man 4 question. But,
sure.
What would it take to bring you back to do a fourth film? You've said a great story, obviously. But it feels like this third film really wraps it up, a nice, neat trilogy. So what would it take to bring you back, to really motivate you to want to do it?
Well, we really did try and wrap up a lot of the story elements that we had in the first and second picture. But I look at it more like the end of a chapter. Because if you've read these Spider-Man comic books, you know there's so many more villains and so many more stories that can be told, that have already been told, that are very exciting and very vivid. But it's true. I'd have to, when I'm done with all of this, have a breather and then look at the character and say, where does he next have to grow to? Where can he now develop to in a meaningful way? And if I could recognize, honestly, a real deficit that he, and we could fashion a story then where the characters, this young man, could learn his next life lesson in a meaningful way, and that you could, and we could make a good story out of it, then I would die to direct the picture.
Now, New Line is also rumored to have approached you to do The Hobbit. Have they approached you to do The Hobbit? What are the rumors? What is that? What is the key?
Well, the truth is, I just don't know what I'm going to do next. That's the most honest answer I can give you. And I can't honestly say, even though I have spoken to Bob Shea, that I don't know that I could honestly say that anything's been offered to me until sometime in the future, because no, it just wouldn't be exactly right, exactly true.
Another fantasy film. I mean, would you like to go back and do another film that perhaps is much smaller, that where this pressure doesn't exist, where there's none of this, and going back to your roots, basically?
Well, I don't mind. I don't look at it as any pressure. I feel like I've been offered the fantastic opportunity to make these Spider-Man films because I love the character so much, and I feel like I understand him very well. And that's what empowers me as a director. If I understand the character, I really believe I can make the picture and understand where what they want and where they have to go to. That's why the understanding his deficit is so important to me. I actually don't think I could do a good job unless I understood that about Peter for the fourth one. That's why I can't actually answer that question either. But these movies don't leave me with a desire now to go make my little art picture or my little character drama or my love story, because I've somehow been given the creative freedom to make all of those when I make the Spider-Man pictures. I'm allowed to do my character drama, the exploration of the dark side of any man. I'm allowed to tell my love story. They really satisfy me in so many different ways. I can make a little bit of a horror movie. It's fun. I can do some action scenes if I want to. They allow me a tremendous range of possibilities, and so I feel very satisfied.
Now, when you say you've had conversations with Bob Shea, what kind of conversations have you had about that?
Well, I spoke to him once, so it's a little more overblown, I think. That's why I don't want to pretend that it's bigger than it is. I had one conversation about the possibility of it, and that's really where it's at.
I have a question, though. In the back of your mind, you have to be thinking, you know, The Hobbit, Peter Jackson did such a great job with the trilogy. Is there any fear in your mind about, wow, the fans are so attached to Peter Jackson's vision, you know, how would they take me coming onto the project? And if you did go to the project, is there any thought about taking some of the actors or, you know, bringing them?
I haven't had any of those thoughts yet. Because I think it's still Peter Jackson's project. It would be so premature. I'm so overwhelmed with my own insecurities, I can't take his on just yet. Yeah. I have to burn through all my fears first. And then I'd have to know that he wasn't making the movie. And then it would have to officially be offered to me. And then all those, then I will be the first one to take on all those fears if all of those things were come to pass.
So you wouldn't take it on unless Peter Jackson said it was okay for you to take it on?
I'd have to know that he was okay with it. It's really his picture and Bob Shea's picture.
There's a lot of powers associated with Spider-Man, but in this movie, you don't touch on his spider sense.
But I don't want to put him in any... I hate to say that because I don't want to put him in some position where... I don't even want to put him in a position where he's forced to respond to me, and I'm not even in a position where I want him to ask him that. So,
But I understand.
I guess I should say no comment.
Okay.
Okay.
I think you're
don't worry about it.
You're fine.
It's the... Okay, go right ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying there's a lot of powers associated with Spider-Man, but you didn't touch on his spider sense in this movie. He gets beat up a lot. Was that under discussion at all? Because it's almost a pop culture reference now. You know, my spider sense is tingling.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the spider sense in the picture, though? Should I have put it in the picture, you say?
I think that, you know, we heard some people say, you know, like, there was a few times where it should have gone off, I think, or you
right.
know,
you might have expected.
Yeah, you know, like, just before he's about to be attacked or something.
Well, the truth is, in the previous pictures, he's always had spider sense, and still we take him by surprise often. And I started to realize, you know, it's really turning out to be a device that I use when I want, and I pretend it doesn't exist when I don't want it not to, and I felt there was so much in the picture already. And in addition, in the comics, he is immune to venom, as far as his spider sense does not work with venom. So I thought I'll have to also show, I'll not only have to cheat at times and show it, but I'll then have to show that it doesn't work with venom. And I thought, where is this all leading? There's too many elements in the picture already. We know he's got spider sense. I think I may not focus on that in this particular story.
I
know it's a bit early, but have you already started thinking about the DVD? And were there any sequences that you had to cut out of the film?
Well, there were a lot of things that we wrote of and didn't shoot, or things that we shot that we didn't think finally were appropriate. We put something in the picture and realized, you know, that's already obvious from the visuals. We don't have to say that. It's better with a look. So like any film, you lose lines and bits and usually exposition that might be unnecessary. Although some of it adds character. It's always a balancing act. So yes, there were things that were cut out of the picture, and yes, I've begun thinking about the DVD, and because only in the crudest sense I've got a plot time after the promotion to work on the color timing with the director of photography, Bill Pope, and my editor, Bob Marotsky, and make sure all these extra pieces are properly...
What kind of extra pieces are you talking about? Are you thinking about the
DVD? I don't develop what they are. I just look at them and say, you guys have already used that shot, can we take that out? I'm more like a very distant editor on it.
You approve the DVD extra?
Yes, yes, I do.
Okay.
If I may, can I ask how many minutes about were cut out of the film that we may expect on the DVD?
I have no idea about that. I don't know if they're going to include extra minutes or if we're going to include extra minutes or of the film or not.
Because you recently, there was a Spider-Man 2.1 that came out on DVD with 8 additional minutes. Were you involved in that?
Yes, that I supervised. And Sony came to me and said, we want to make a 2.1 that gives fans more of the movie. And I said, well, but the problem is, I want to be good to you, Sony, but the problem is you gave me my director's cut with the main picture. And I don't want to punish you now, but I really liked that. That was the movie I wanted to make, and you let me make it, and I'm thankful for it. They said, well, don't you have things that we could still put in that the fans may want to see? I said, okay. We won't call it the director's cut, but there are some additional insights to character. There's a few lines. There's a few little action bits that were unnecessary to make the point that they said the fans would want to see. So that's what the 2.1 is.
I think Spider-Man 3 is completely your director's cut then. There's no... Well, you were just saying that Sony lets you release the film we want to make in Spider-Man 2. That, I assume that's the same... in Spider-Man 3.
Yes, we've had a very good relationship like that throughout all the pictures. There are discussions and there's compromises that you make in any relationship, but I'm very happy with the picture.
You don't test it either. No.
The producer said an interesting thing, which is that at the end of, even after the end of principal photography, because of the high degree of visual effects in the films, you found yourself actually directing the film 3 months after you had wrapped. Can you talk about that, directing some of the Sandman stuff, for instance, and finding new character stuff in the film even after you've wrapped principal photography?
Well, I don't know about finding new character pieces, because those I discover through the actors' performances and discussions with the actors, or with the screenwriter Alvin Sargent, or my brother Ivan, or our producers Laura Ziskin and Avi Arad and Grant Curtis. But the directing never stops on a modern picture with a lot of CGI, because even though I've done a storyboard and have submitted it and shot the plate for this animation to take place in, and have even provided an animated guide within the plate, it's a crude guide. And as the animation director takes over, he adds his own interpretation or improves it or tries to understand what it was that I was after that the animator I was working with couldn't provide me and tries to take it to the next step. So, yes, performance in pictures where there is, maybe this is what you mean, where the main characters are CG, continues to evolve. That's true, but more in the physical, in a very physical place, not so much in a spiritual or mental performance.
Why do you think the actors are so willing to take a leap of faith, talking about Topher and Hayden Church, to sign on something that is not yet completely finished in script form? What is it about this project and you, I guess, that attracts you?
Well, I'm very happy that they did, because I needed their talents to create these characters. But I think it's just the nature of these Spider-Man films, and maybe modern-day films that are heavy in effects, which is basically, at the end of Spider-Man 2, I'm told when the release date is for Spider-Man 3, and it simply is going to be on the screen on May 4th. but... I don't have it worked out yet. So we have to be figuring it out and writing the script as we're casting, as we're shooting, as we're working on the effects. It's just the demands, we don't have enough time to do it all in the proper sequence. Ideally, we would write the script and rewrite the script and finish it, and only then begin the casting process. And only then start storyboarding the piece after rehearsals, and then begin figuring out the effects. But I had to start the effects before I had written a script, and cast it before I had written a script. So it was all a coming, it was unfortunately, in these big pictures, that's how it works, simultaneous coming together process. It's like building a house without a blueprint.
Do you have a date for Spider-Man 4?
What's that, sir? Somebody in the...
Oh, back here. Sorry.
Yeah.
With Dr. Connors, you obviously like classic characters. You use Doc Connors, you know, you use the name of the first one, then he had a bit in the second, more in this one. I talked to Dylan Baker a while ago. He said you guys kind of kicked around the idea of the film series does continue. Dr. Connors might have a bigger part. Is that just coming out of your love for classic characters, that there's a chance that you do continue with this series, that we might see something green?
Yes, I think it's the same with Captain Stacy and Dr. Connors and all the other periphery characters in the Spider-Man universe. The more films we make, the more the producers and myself, and I think in Dr. Connors' case, it may have been Avi who suggested him in this first one, hey, you're going to mention a professor, why don't you mention Dr. Connors? He said, okay. And then it was a real logical thing when Peter was in class to have it be Dr. Connors. It's a desire to incorporate slowly but surely all the Spider-Man families for the films to come, so that we've been true to the comic books, and so that they're there to draw upon for future stories.
Is there a reason where you came with Gwen then for this? Because in the first picture, you would not want to use Gwen because she wasn't the girlfriend slash wife in the current continuity. You didn't want to confuse fans, confuse little kids that would see it. So now you brought Gwen in. Third one, how far along in the script process did you decide to bring Gwen in?
Well, my brother and I had written in the story about another woman that recognized Peter and knew he was at this dinner. And that Mary Jane got jealous over. But Laura Ziskin, my producer, said, let's make it Gwen. And I said, I don't think I should, because Gwen, really Gwen was introduced before Mary Jane in the comic books, and now I'm introducing her later, and I'm not sure that, you know, she's not even in high school anymore. She's in college, and I'm afraid if I introduce Gwen, the fans will have all these expectations, which we're not going to deliver in this picture. And she said, well, the fans will much rather have Gwen make an introduction now, and you can do what you need to do, or someone can do what they need to do in the fourth picture with her, but at least you've introduced her, and they would appreciate that. So after much soul searching, I thought, maybe it's true. I've already screwed up in the order. I've already started with Mary Jane first. She has to be, whenever she's introduced, she'll be introduced in the wrong order. I might as well give the fans the introduction to Gwen, and... So I took her advice and named her Gwen Stacy, and therefore connected her to a policeman that had been in the periphery of the scenes, made a little stronger relationship between them, but very not much, just enough to be true to the fact that he was her daughter. That's about all.
And did you ever want to use Space Attack and you just did the jackpot?
Did I ever want to what?
Did you ever want to use that quote? Did you, in the movie Space Attack, you just did the jackpot?
Well,
the infamous Mary Jane.
That's Mary Jane's line, though. Oh, well, so you're not asking that relationship to Gwen, right?
Oh, no.
Well, in the first picture, I was finishing a scene with Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst on the street, and he had just come a long distance to see her, and she got rejected from some soap opera, and she was about to leave, and I was trying to find the right look or the right way to end the scene, the right moment on the set. And Avi said to me, why don't you just have her say, catch you later, Tiger. And that Tiger line was enough for me to remind the audience of that classic moment that is a different line but similar enough that I thought it was a great idea of his. And so I feel like we've incorporated that moment in some respect in the picture already.
Was the
a reference to it, at least.
Was there ever a desire to extend the Venom and the symbiote storyline, because he's such a big character, beyond just this film, since, you know, I know this film, since he dies at the end, was there ever a desire to extend that storyline?
Yes, we would, but I thought it would be unfair to... The Venom storyline, unfortunately, has Eddie Brock, the establishment of who he is and what he is, and the symbiote coming to Peter Parker first, and you've got to go through his entire getting of the black suit, the Dark Peter, the ridding of the black suit, before it even comes on to Eddie Brock. So the very nature of that story demands you either do a two-part, if you want to get to spend more time with Venom, which I didn't think was fair to the audience, to the fans of Spider-Man. I thought about it. I really did, and I kept reading the fans' emails that Avi would send me saying, they better not introduce him just to tease us. That would be so... I felt that the fans didn't want that from thousands of emails that were sent me. So I thought, okay, they want... Because I tried to do that. And Avi said, you're not giving me what I asked you. I said, the fans, you know, they want Venom. Just give him Venom already. So I said, okay, but obviously, through the very nature of it, he's only going to be in half an act or one act. I'll just make it as thorough and the best that I can, that deliver Venom in the most complete way that I understand that the fans might want him. That was my desire.
Thank you.
I was led there.
And thank you very much.
I take it there's a release date for Spider-Man 4, yeah?
What's that, buddy?
A release date for Spider-Man 4, the Sony's review. Yeah, we want Spider-Man 4 out.
They haven't told me, but I...
Oh, sorry.
Not yet.
You know something? If you were to sign on to do another Spider-Man film, or even possible few films, is there more with the pressure that you were under to deliver Spider-Man 3 by a date? Would you be a little more firm with the next one, saying, I want this to be... You know, the script, I want everything more set up in advance?
No, because the fans, I mean, it's really, that's a Sony decision. I'd have to ask myself, can I get it together, the quality picture I need in, if I could find the right story and the right character arc, and Toby was interested, and then I'd have to make sure that, then I'd have to see when Sony wanted the picture and make sure that I could make a proper picture within that time.
So what can I ask you this, then? If Toby decided that definitely said no, that he's had enough, would you be more reticent to do a Spider-Man 4?
For me, yeah, because I've made all these three with him. He's like my partner. And part of it for me would be a real specific experience of continuing the depth of that character that he portrayed. It'd be another story working with someone else on the character.
What about Kirsten?
I love Kirsten. She's great. But what about her?
Well, I mean, same thing. Said no.
It'd be very difficult without her also.
Yeah.